Okay, joining me now are the stars of the upcoming game, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, Brian Bloom, and Nina Franzek.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
All right, well, first off, we're getting close to the launch, and I always wonder if these are exciting times or are these like nerve-wracking times as we get closer and closer to when that game actually is released to the public.
Well, you know, for me, it's always interesting and exciting to know that when people are responding to the work and responding, you know, for all kinds of reasons to what you're doing, particularly when they're the right reasons, when they're enjoying what they're seeing, when they're intrigued, when they're compelled, when they find it provocative, when they think it's going to be awesome and exciting, and maybe you're, you know, they're anticipating the product. That always feels good, and there's kind of an energy exchange there, even if it's not direct. But when you get around folks at cons, or even start to see billboards and signs of you know, the game all over the internet and things, it you know, it's great. People put in a lot of hard work in many different countries and many different disciplines and areas of specialization, hoping that they would make something awesome that would be entertaining as hell and be fun to play and work and function.
Those are big things.
Our game's going to do all those things, I think.
That's good to hear. You said the word provocative, and I can't think of a better word for a game like this, particularly right now. Just from the little bit that's been seen, it's already sparked a lot of, and controversy isn't the right word, but a lot of reaction definitely from people. Because for whatever reason, Nazism seems to be an issue that has reared its head again. So what is it about this game? Are you wary to step into this type of world? I mean, obviously, we're on the side of anti-Nazism in this game. But also, you're dealing with a lot of heavy issues that are particularly relevant today. What's that like to navigate as a performer?
For me, you know, as a performer, as you said there at the end, you know, this is a role that I've been playing for quite some time, had the privilege and honor of playing for quite some time. And when you're at the front of the tunnel on something like this, I think for a lot of people on this kind of a project that when it started was kind of a reboot of something that was a seminal title, integral to, you know, games and a lot of people's history and association with the video game. Mm. And that video game offered a really simple promise of a premise that was, you're going to shoot the bad guys. And the way we're going to help kind of move that story along is you're going to associate those bad guys with some bad guys that have existed in history. And that's the fantasy. And in many ways, although it is magnified with the mechanics, systems, features, and incredible narrative and performances and all of this kind of handshake between technology and the elements that have moved gaming forward in the audience, we are still making that. I am still a part of, as far as I know, you know, that premise. And so the place that it may be crossing a moment in time here, I think is maybe, to me, it's the only thing it really has in common with anything in history is that Nazis have existed and they were bad guys. And I hoped and think and thought and still do that we all agree, like you said, that those are the bad guys. And it's we don't really live in a binary world anymore. And Patrick, you know what I think from my standpoint, and it's nice that you can jump behind the barrel and be BJ Blazkowicz, and things can get, although it's complex, it's not complicated. And he can, you know, through his sort of barrel and sensibilities and belt-fed diplomacy, do his best to solve this problem.
Absolutely.
So that, you know, it's awesome to be involved in that. And wherever it crosses with what's happening, that's not what we were making or I was doing when I put the dots on. You know, we're making the fantasy of BJ Blazkowicz and how good it feels to skin up as that guy. That's the, you know, the promise that wasn't kept, which is, you know, no retreat and no surrender. But he doesn't mean that in this kind of macho, two-dimensional, you know, paper tiger kind of a way. You know, I hope we're portraying and conveying a guy that's got a lot more dimension there, and he cares not just because it's cool to shoot bad guys, although that's fun and you can play that way and it's awesome and the game will meet you right there. But there's some really interesting folks and some really interesting problems and conflicts and puzzles to solve. You know, BJ's a broken man inside and out, and he can't do it alone. And he needs a team, and he always has. And that, even that is difficult for him to face. And as he becomes weaker and less from just fighting and, you know, putting that mileage on his soul and on his body, trying to, you know, keep that promise, he needs more help than ever. And this game really offers, you know, through its character, through its narrative, through its story, a chance to explore that. So that's what I think I was doing.
It certainly sounds like you have a great grip on the character, which, I mean, you've been playing him for a few years now, almost the better part of a decade at this point, I suppose. This game is a direct sequel to 2014's The New Order. But the timeline in this series, it gets a little funky because there's a lot of jumping around. Can you kind of explain where we are in the timeline of events for this new upcoming game, The New Colossus?
Well, I think it's fair to say that since you see, and again, if Nick, ring the bell if I'm doing anything wrong here, but I'm pretty sure these elements are out there. You know, and I've heard Jens talk about this. We're picking up where, BJ, you know, kind of said, you know, do it, detonate, hit the spot, and you know that that moment, that incredible climax, which was also the end of the other game,
right.
We're really meeting you right there. We all join up again right there, and whoever we all is and what that becomes is, catalyzes in the shape BJ is in and other things and what the team needs and what that nuclear moment was or wasn't. All of those elements kind of catalyze this next story. So in many ways, we're literally picking up where we left off.
Gotcha. I like that you said the state that BJ's in, because one of the things that stuck out the most from the trailers is that wheelchair segment that we saw. Can you speak a little bit about that? I think this might be the first time I've ever seen a first-person shooter in a wheelchair.
Me too. That was that's just what a fun kind of level and what an interesting way to express your a restriction or a problem that you're trying to overcome, but adding a it's so difficult to get a player in first person, but this is our challenge, right? To feel particularly physical feelings and sensations, right? That's not where we are, and that's not what's... So there's a chance to kind of, for things to break down there, and what's really exciting is that BJ in that wheelchair, it's, you know, that approach to combat and that approach to moving through that space and reminding the player of the state that he's in and the state change that he's experienced and what he needs to overcome. And, you know, the guns are an aspect of that, but this is a health problem and this is also a restriction on his movement and other things. So using this setting and moving, kind of combat and puzzle put together in a kind of interesting way, and at the same time expressing that problem that he has physically, which also is breaking him down mentally because he can't be his full expression of himself, right? Kicking ass and taking names, shooting, stabbing and strangling Nazis, right? So I think all those things seem kind of, I would, as a gamer myself and somebody who works on other games and plays other games and develops other games in front and behind, like, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
It blows my mind, and I'm just really impressed and just happy to be some tiny little part of stuff like that.
I've talked to Brian a little bit about his character and about the game, but this is also a kind of a big step up for Frau Engel as well, because you're the main antagonist in this upcoming game. So can you give us a little... We've seen her in past games. Can you give us a little, like, up-to-date where she is now in the timeline of New Colossus?
Yes, I think this is all about revenge, and BJ, he killed Booby, my boy toy, if you want to call it like that. And I think she is all about revenge and fighting. So, and he's a very strong enemy, and so it's not only chasing him, but there's also a personal fun, I think, for her to chase someone as strong as him. Like a state enemy. I think you can see that in any dictatorship, or they always have that one strong guy they want to track down, and I think that is BJ for her.
Right. We talked a little bit about the context, the socio-political context that this game is being released in, and it seems a particularly timely moment for this game to be released, particularly here in America. But as a German yourself, what's it like to have to... You're not really reliving anything, but this is something that is maybe more personal to someone of a German nationality to deal with issues about Nazism. What's it like to approach that as an actor?
It is personal. It's also personal for me. It's, my father is Jewish and my mother is German, and in the past, you know, there was a German general on the mother's side. And there have been Jews trying to survive in Poland on the father's side, so I was very... The subject was really close to me. And I had done a lot of research to understand my own past, and I've been to Auschwitz and all that. But I think, as an actor, what convinced me was the script. And I really liked the script of that I was given, and that character... I think the script was, for me, very close to Inglourious Basterds, and mm-hmm. I thought, oh, I'm getting the choice to play the same role, like Christoph Waltz in a feminine form with the boy toy. So I think that's interesting. And then you go deeper into history, and I researched a lot, you know, the perpetrators, and I usually don't play them. I speak German, and that's my background, mm-hmm. I usually play the resistance, and they always ask me to play French or, you know.
Right.
But in a video game, that's the amazing thing. You can alter a face, and that was also an amazing chance to step into a character like that.
I've loved the comparisons to Inglourious Basterds, because I'm a big fan of that film. Who isn't? It's a great movie. But also because the film's kind of fun, and it has a lot of humor to it, and these games do as well, even though they're dealing with these heavier issues. But these games are... when I told somebody I was talking about this game today, they... We're like, oh, I love those games. They're bananas because these games are just over the top and craziness. And I imagine it's fun because the material you get to work with as an actor is so... It seems there's a lot of freedom and a lot of your own personal voice can be injected into these because they are just big characters who also have... Brian mentioned it a little bit. They are more three-dimensional characters, but there seems to be a lot of meat for you guys to work with on these scripts.
But I also think it's the combination. I mean, I have to say that Emily Schreiber did an amazing, amazing job. I mean, she's, and Tom Keegan, the director, they get so incredible actors from everywhere, and they really, really track them down. And you have people who are able to do all the stunts and are really good movie actors. And then I think the freedom that Jens gave us to really develop characters and the rehearsal process brings out a lot. It for me, it's sometimes like a theater production, and also I think it has a lot to do with the guys and the actors who did this game. It speaks for them that they give us the freedom and that they let us develop characters, and I brought in a lot of historical background, and I asked Jens, can I try that out? And I had to understand a lot about the technical mm-hmm. Aspects of games, because, you know, what can you do? Because the audience is basically, it's an audience of one, and what can you do with the player? It seems if you have someone, you know, but if you have someone with Brian, just to act together is just so amazing, because I can just feed from everything that he's doing. So I think that was the amazing experience of this particular game.
So that was one of my questions then. Were you guys working together on a stage? You know, the technology has taken off so much for this mocap and like how they record games. So are you guys really acting against each other?
You know what's amazing about that is, so, you know, we not only were working together, Tom's, you know, when we were shooting, you know, this is really essentially theater in the round, the way we do it. So all of our takes are essentially masters. If our listeners and audiences, and sure, you know, everybody here knows what that is. For those who don't, we're doing the scene straight through all the way, right? And we do it every time. And it is shot from every angle and all at once. And the cinematography sort of happens later. So we really have a chance to harness chemistry. And Tom's approach, as Nina was mentioning, and Jens' approach is, you know, we're doing table reads and we're discussing and we're getting together sort of off campus to discuss our characters and talk about our scenes and look for our motivations or intention and see if what people are doing is jiving. And we really worked together in many cases. We didn't just get a call like in the old days and show up, which also rendered some amazing work. And no disrespect, just that, you know, we didn't just show up at a booth and go to a microphone and in a vacuum and in a box, say lines with really cool voices.
Drink some Camomile tea.
And have people kind of edit those things together and Frankenstein, a patchwork quilt.
Right.
And hardly anybody does that anymore, but it is awesome that we got to do this in, I think, what, you know, sort of the most contemporary slash modern, you know, proverbially techniques and processes, you know, to put this forward. Mm-hmm. And I think it renders some great, incredibly human results. For all the technology and ones and zeros that games are, we have more opportunity than ever to put the human factor back in, because we're still just people in those black sealskin suits with the dots. We can't draw on costume or set, really. We're holding PVC pipe for guns. We've got the sets are not really sets. We've got some basic doorways and markers for windows or drawers or tables or maps if they're going to be used.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, we're pulling it from each other. They're, you know, all past the camera and the light in your face. So it's a totally trippy thing. So what I'm saying is, you got to use, it's got to come from the inside, and it's also got to come from the chemistry, from the heart of the other people you're working with. And we're working with people like Nina and Tom and the amazing cast we had. A lot of that happened.
I mean, these are full-on productions at this point. I mean, like, these really are performances that you're doing. It's not just voiceover like it used to be. That's why, for me, I'm not sure how closely you were involved with this or how closely you were following it, but the video game Actors Strike, which just came to an end with a victory for you guys, were you involved in that? Was that any discussion? Because a lot of those things that were being said in that strike, I was shocked by how a lot of these actors have been treated and how they were kind of kept in the dark on a lot of projects. Did you encounter any of those types of things on any projects that you worked on? Did this feel like a victory for you as somebody who works in this industry?
I didn't encounter it. For me, that was the first video game I ever did. And I had no clue how that would work out, and I was amazed. I'm a big fan of this kind of work right now, and of all, because of all the aspects. Yeah, because I believe it needs really good performers, especially of all the things that Brian just said. And I think because I had this amazing experience and I was treated so well and paid well, then I didn't experience the stress and things other people had gone through. Like, I never came and, you know, to a point where I was physically so exhausted or that my voice was so you know, strained from working on the game. It was the opposite. I felt I was really great. It was like a theater process, and it was not, I was not used, and I had the feeling that the people I was working with and been really conscious and cautious about that. So I did not have any of these experiences, but I followed everything the people did at the Screen Actors Guild. I went to some of their events, and but that's the only thing that I can say about that from my personal experience.
I would say, Patrick, that you know, the short answer is from the moment I had the opportunity to work on this side of the voiceover and interactive media, it has been a beautiful experience since the first dance. And I, for, you know, I understand that there are some people who wanted to storm the castle. That was not, that has not been my experience or my reaction. I'm glad to see it resolved in a quote-unquote victory, and I hope people can get back to work and start making awesome stuff again.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that you guys both had positive experiences, because honestly, your work does resonate with a lot of people, so I'm glad that we can celebrate and that you guys can continue doing it and that you're enjoying what you do. Let's end on a more fun note on the game. Are there any particular scenes that you guys can hint at that you're particularly excited for fans to get their hands on?
All the ones that we're excited for you to get your hands on are the ones we can't even hint at.
No!
But let's say that, you know, I think, you know, I don't want to even put a spoiler on what Nina's about to say, but because I can see her face here, she can't see. Yeah. Listen, there are some epic kind of moments in this thing, and there are some unbelievable face... There is some incredible FaceTime between these characters that is kind of long overdue, let's say. And they encounter each other, and they tend to resolve conflict through violence. And they see, and as Nina said, these are two individuals, along with their respective teams and families, who probably are seeking out each other because they both need not only to cut the head of the snake, but to face the person that's the best kind of counter and opposite that validates their existence. And I know for her, as Nina just said, for Frau Engel, that's incredibly true. For BJ, it's a lot more head of the snake and end the face of this thing. So you're going to have a blast as these two hunt each other, that's for sure.
I also could see that there are comments, you know, on what you can already see on the trailer that is out, what's going on between for Engel and her daughter, Alyssa Preston, who plays Sigrun, on his she's amazing and she's an opera singer and it was just so much fun to work with her. But we really got into all that, you know, how would that fat shaming and all these things that I'm doing with her. And I already saw that people have a reaction to that, and it was an amazing process. We even rented a theater and had a rehearsal together with Tom and Jens, and really went far what a narcissistic mother can do to a poor daughter like that. Because a narcissist like Engel is, you just see your kid as an extension of yourself. So right. If she's fat, that means I'm fat. If she's weak, I'm weak. And we went far, and it's, you know, and I also see that it resonates with people because people experience that kind of bullying in their, you know, and that's what I like about this game. It brings in more and more things, you know, in the storytelling, that people can relate to. And it was an amazing experience for us to, you know, in the rehearsal process. And it's, again, also amazing to work with Alyssa because we could go really far with this topic. And but I also think that an audience relates to that, you know. And I found that interesting in some of the comments. So I don't know if that, you know, if I contribute with this little... With that to your question.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think you guys have teased it up about as much as you can. I can't wait to get my hands on this game. All right, well, thank you very much, Brian and Nina, for joining me. I really appreciate your time. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I'm very excited for this game. I cannot wait to see what is in store for everybody who picks it up.
That's great. I feel the exact same way, man. I'm gonna get my copy as soon as I can. If I have to buy it, I'm gonna buy it.
I hope you can at least get a copy. Geez.
I'm sure I will. Everybody's been so kind and generous with that. I'm only playing. Yeah, man. We can't wait. And thanks for your time and being interested in talking to us.
Of course, absolutely. Thank you so much, everybody. It's great to see, like, real actors in video games now. You know, like, we've been lucky enough to have a couple on the podcast, you know, between Susan Eisenberg and Phil Lamar, who's been one of my favorite actors almost my entire life. You know, these people, they're incredible. Like, what they do is, they're artists. And, you know, I'm glad that the strike ended the way it did, but a lot of these people don't get the respect that they deserve for the work that they're doing.
And you really have to understand what they're doing, essentially. Like, they're in a room by themselves bringing these characters to life that you're basically playing for 20 hours.
Right.